for active adult housing. It was very surprising in the fact that it started with Washington and Baltimore, LA, New York City, Chicago, and Dallas, but the fact that Washington and Baltimore was on top of the list. What we are doing is an ARC. What is an ARC? Today, it's an active adult, recreation, residential, and retirement. So it's really three R's, community. Today, aging in place. There's not a magazine that you can pick up today that doesn't talk about aging in place. The young lady that spoke earlier that wants to stay here in town and everything else and wants to get her education and live and everything else here is just a factor in our aging in place and what we're looking for. The desire to be near your family, friends and social connection and interaction. Familiarity of hometown. It is very, very important. This is a T&D or a pedestrian-oriented plan. We've tried to take the cars completely out of the picture and put them away, again, depending on public transportation, walking, bicycles, and all those wonderful things. We have a roundabout that the traffic calming, you know, for the pedestrian, you know, protection.
And your time's expired, so you could wind up very quickly.
Let me just go ahead and very quickly run through the pictures that we've produced here that show what we're proposing and everything else. On here, we're showing the porticos going through into the courtyards in pictures of these wonderful courtyards inside, how we're taking and going in through porticos into our parking and back. These are the starlight decks above, our live, work, and townhouses. We're trying to tie the Black Rock Theater, which we think is a wonderful, into a performing arts park. So our green belt down through the middle. This shows some of the activities that we would like to do in our activity. We've created a green belt all the way through down through the center that shows all of our wellness centers and community facilities.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions?
Okay, a question. Eight stories is not too low because you have 6-foot-story buildings in there.
We have 6 to 12 story buildings on our office buildings. Yes.
So you do want to go lower than that?
We can go lower, but we felt like that the 8 stories was not tall enough, especially on 270, to make an impact signature building. So we actually have 2 12-story office buildings up against 270. We also have a 12-story residential building against the park.
It's a wonderful picture of Central Park.
Yeah.
Is Mr. Elliott here?
No.
Yes. He's here.
He's not testifying.
Could I just ask you a question? Are you willing to put a site plan like that at some point as a conditional site building plan, very specific, doing all of the nice features for both active adult and the office park in this, as part of this new site plan, new master plan? Okay, I guess my point is it's difficult to commit to all of the nice things.
The plan was developed with a specific intention that we be committed to it. If you're asking, are we agreeing to commit to what we've shown, the answer to that question is yes. You're at a very conceptual stage of the process, as you know, Mr. Alfandre. If you want us to go to a more detailed step now, we're happy to do that
with
you.
I'm just asking because we're talking about a new master plan. So
right.
I'm not asking you to sign in blood right here. What I'm asking and wondering, because we're trying to find better ways of doing this,
right,
you know, at what point can you make commitments so that we can give you some certainty?
Right. We spent a lot of time and a lot of money getting here, and we will promise, we'll deliver what we've promised.
Thank you.
One of the things I think would be helpful, if before the work session we had the numbers on residential capacity that's in the TS zone.
Your staff has done a spreadsheet for that, so they could make that available.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, I have.
We got 2 other people who want to testify on this, on Cloverleaf also. So,
well, I did have a couple questions.
But,
First of all, Mr. Chairman, you're correct in making sure that, assuming, as I think Commissioner Alfandre's had a very good idea to try to work out something a little more specific, that we don't run into legal hurdles because of the previous master plan limitations. And the second is, Ms. Toto, I look forward to seeing you at the work session because I have some specific questions on some of your ideas, which I find very interesting, but we can't do that in 1.5 minutes, so I look forward to seeing you.
Good. Justine Beachley and Michael Ferry.
I forgot to actually speak on Milestone. If I could just take 1 minute and speak on a couple of points on Milestone Business Park.
1 minute.
Okay. Milestone Business Park, there are two issues that I have with the plan's recommendations. One is the limit of 0.75 FAR. While granting similar sites within the TMX zone a 1.0 FAR, I think the limitation is not justified. Milestone Business Park is a perfect location for a high-density mixed-use development. It's a gateway entry into Germantown. It already has a critical mass of office space there. It's right next to and respects a residential development. It's within walking distance of a future Quarter City's transitway site. It just makes sense to develop that and plan it as a mixed-use, high-density development, and it's probably the nearest term high-density development that could happen in Germantown. I would recommend increasing that to 1.0 FAR, also because it seems that we're limited to 0.75 FAR, so we get half the bonus density of other sites, but we are without curtailing any of the additional costs of BLTs to that site as well.
Okay, thank you. Does Michael Ferry wish to testify? Is Michael Ferry here? Okay. Then let's move to, thank you.
Dr. Hanson, he is here.
Oh, he's here. Oh, did you wish to speak, Mr. Ferry? Yes, if you'd come on up then.
Hey, just paper, please.
Thanks. No. I'm pretty loud. I don't know how much we need. My name is Justine Beachley. I want to thank you allowing me this opportunity to testify before you today. I was born and raised in Montgomery County, and I've lived in Germantown now for 18 years. I'm here today representing our community as HOA president of the Cloverleaf Townhome Association, which happened to be on all those developers were right there, and a role that I have been serving for over 10 years. Our community is located off of Crystal Rock Drive and Kinster Drive in the section referred to as the North End. We are very small with only 144 homes. We are unique in that we are the only residential community on that side of Crystal Rock. We want to be able to coexist with commercial development, but not so much as it alters our quality of life. I chose to live in Germantown because it was affordable, community-oriented, had a small-town feel, was far away from the hustle and bustle of other cities, had character, charm, and history, and still makes it appealing to live here and raise my family. We found our residents had the same reasons as to why they liked Germantown. Words like peaceful, quiet, small community, not urban, not Rockville, open space, parks, woods, family-oriented, good for children, sense of community, et cetera, et cetera, and affordable. What did you dislike? What do you dislike about Germantown? Nothing. We are concerned that the draft would change these reasons. A specific issue for our community would be this transit station. As much as we think that adding transit could be a good thing, we are not sure that placing it in residential communities next to residential communities is a good choice. Fear of the added volume of traffic, congestion, safety of pedestrians, etc., not to mention crime. In the little packet that I had given you, there are some articles referring to the Glen Burnie light rail that was implemented in 1993. More recently, there was incidents of rape during broad daylight, robberies and burglaries in the surrounding communities. Even the acting director of the MTA was quoted as stating that the police aren't at every station 24 hours a day. Would this be true for Germantown? Is there a plan to increase the police force to accommodate such a need? We have asked at several meetings if any impact studies had been conducted, and the answer was that the county did not have the funding to do so. These studies must be conducted. If the transit would not be light rail, but buses, would it then become the problem, what is already proven to be currently in Germantown? We have seen businesses leave because of excessive loitering, fights, and violence. I also wanted to remind you of the bus station that used to exist at Lake Forest Mall that has now moved for some of these same reasons. We suggest that the transit station remain in the true town center, make the transit accessible to the Mark Station, Montgomery College, and the Shady Grove Metro. In addition, we would request that the arterial road known as Kinster Drive, that is currently our main entrance to our community, remain a dead end. Bringing jobs to Germantown is wonderful, but as stated by the poll, the survey that we took, people did not move to Germantown for jobs. And specifically, one of your own planning board members had stated strongly and urged the project team to consider the reason that people had moved to Germantown, and that was not for employment. To finish up, Germantown does have an identity, and to keep moving the town center for what we now know as the old town center and the new town center, it's just going to keep growing. We don't want to see that. We want an identity and a center to be centered. So I do appreciate your time, and there's more stuff in the packet that I gave you earlier. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mike Ferry. I'm a resident on Kinster and Cloverleaf 2 on the other side of the street from her neighborhood. We're a complete joined neighborhood. The Germantown master plan has allowed for the harmonious blending of commercial space and residential space. The current accepted town center along Germantown Road, flanked by Aircraft Drive, is a prime example of this successful blend. If Kinster Drive, which separates two Cloverleaf neighborhoods of 208 townhouse units by approximately 60 feet, is opened as an artery road to Century Boulevard, it would create issues to include safety to children at school bus stops and general pedestrian traffic. The transformation of a dead-end residential road into a commercial thoroughfare creates contention with the neighborhood it traverses and conflicts with the intent of the original master plan, which was to create an artery road connecting two commercial complexes on either side of Century Boulevard. However, Kinster Drive has never divided a commercial complex. Our community was born out of a builder's desire to complete development on our tract of land during a time when commercial development was not profitable. So as they say, we didn't ask to be born, but here we are. The development of a commercial artery road connecting Crystal Rock and Century Boulevard will jeopardize the integrity of our neighborhood and community that is disjoined from direct commercial traffic similar to the existing residential units in the current town center. The residents of our community didn't choose Cloverleaf because of the potential for job creation resulting from the North End development. The Cloverleaf residents traveled to various areas around the Beltway, and I heard a mention of a walking community. If we wanted a walking community, we'd all probably be living in Bethesda or the Kentlands community like that. We also have no need or desire to shorten our current 4-minute commute to the existing Century Boulevard in order to more quickly arrive at the proposed North End complex. I believe there are two options in which to choose. The first is the solution, and that's to keep Kinster closed. The second is, if Kinster must be open, Kinster must be limited to one lane of traffic in either direction. People will not be driving through our neighborhood in a residential state of mind, but to and from work, shopping, eating, and drinking. As proposed, Kinster would become a 4-lane road contrasted with one lane in either direction as it's used today. Again, if Kinster must be open, consider not only the resulting congestion, but the character of that congestion and its danger to residents, children, and pedestrians resulting from patrons and employees of the North End business and retail establishments simply using Kinster as a shortcut to Father Hurley, and also using Kinster as a shortcut to Crystal Rock and possibly going to that new complex that I saw on the chart a moment ago. Opening Kinster serves no benefit to our community or the surrounding residential area by filtering commuters through our neighborhood to save 4 or 5 minutes drive time. Century Boulevard to 118 via Crystal Rock would easily handle the expected congestion. The recommended action is keep Kinster closed and at the very least provide comprehensive impact studies that reflect Kinster's residential needs and solutions to the dangers the current proposal would create.
Okay, thank you. Let's take those who were signed up with West End and Gateway. Sue Carter, Mark Wildman, Phil Perrone, Vernon Martins, Barbara Sears, and Farhad Hemati.
Good evening. For the record, Sue Carter with Law Offices at 200 B Monroe Street. I'm speaking this evening on behalf of Mark Wildman, the owner of property at 19515 Waters Road. I do have a letter that Mr. Klein in our office prepared on Mr. Wildman's behalf. He was unable to attend this evening as he has another hearing in Rockville, but asked that the letter be incorporated into the record. And I will refer to several of the exhibits as part of my testimony. Mr. Wildman's property is located on the west end of the town center, and it's identified as Exhibit A on the letter. The master plan describes the area as the Waters Road Triangle. It's fairly close to the Mark Station. Mr. Wildman, who's here this evening, has very strong ties to the Germantown community. He grew up here. He's been affiliated with the community for a good 45 years, and he's had a business or property ownership here over the past 30 years. The property that's the subject property here has been used for decades as an automobile repair, sales, and service business. We have two principal concerns. The first concern is that there's a roadway that has just appeared, as we understand it, since the public hearing draft was published in May. Mr. Wildman was contacted after that, and apparently in June, the plans changed, and there's now a proposed roadway, which is an extension of Century Boulevard, that comes right through Mr. Wildman's property. What I do is refer you to Exhibits B and C. And Exhibit B is the alignment of Century Boulevard that was presented to the community and the CAC and what's contained in the public hearing draft. Exhibit C is a more recent roadway alignment of Century Boulevard that wasn't part of that process that goes through Mr. Wildman's property. He attended all of the CAC meetings over the last year and a half. He's been very involved in this process. So he was really quite astounded to learn of the roadway realignment that was changed sort of after publication of the hearing draft. The plan itself shows an arrow on his property, a symbol that he understood was supposed to represent a major view, and that's what's now become a 70-foot-wide right-of-way. We believe this is something that should have been discussed during the meetings with the Citizens Advisory Committee. Now, staff did alert Mr. Wildman that it made this post-publication revision, but he hasn't had an opportunity now to sit down with the transportation planning staff to talk about this, as he was advised that they wanted to wait till after tonight's hearing to meet. He has come up with an alternative alignment, which we show as Exhibit D, and we believe, in fact, may be a better solution. But the bottom line is that it's an issue of critical importance to Mr. Wildman, and it needs to be addressed in some kind of a meaningful public forum. The second issue, and since I've gone over my time, is
just take
Mr.
My turn.
Can I go ahead and just
yield some of my time to her?
All right. Okay. Thank you. And I'll be very brief here. The second principal concern is with respect to the zoning of the property. This has always been a commercial property. It previously was I-1 zoned, and the existing uses there were permitted as a matter of right. When the master plan, the 89 master plan, was followed in 1990 with rezoning, it rezoned the property to the RMX2 zone. And that is a zone that is really a residential base. You have to go under the optional method for commercial. The problem is that with that RMX2 zoning, there was never any language that was added that addresses grandfathering of existing commercial uses. And so that has actually been a problem for Mr. Wildman. We understand now that the county currently treats this as a non-conforming use, which I don't think any business wants to operate that way. It's a rather precarious position to be in. We believe that RMX2C zone is a more appropriate zone, and that's a zone that came along after the last master plan, so it wasn't an option at that time. But that is a zone that allows a commercial use as sort of a base zone, under the standard method, and to us seems more consistent with the master plan, as the master plan does recommend mixed commercial and mixed use for the property. So those are the two, I guess, the two key things.
Thank you. A little bit of time left, Mr. Wildman. You want to use it?
I would just point out that on the plan, which is on Exhibit C, where they show it going through the middle of my property, the road, there's not enough. It doesn't make sense because the distance from existing 118 to that proposed road is so small, it would be a traffic nightmare hazard. Because it's, you know, within a couple hundred feet, if not even that much, probably 100 feet of existing 118. If you look at the other areas up Crystal Rock, Century Boulevard, the distance, like when you get to Middlebrook Road, how far the intersection is away from 118, or as you get up to Crystal Rock Drive, the other cross streets that bisect, that is entirely too close. And you can see that my plan on Exhibit D would connect Waterford straight through, connecting Father Hillahead Boulevard directly to 118, which would make a direct east-west route, and then bringing the new Century Boulevard further away where the existing Waters Road is now, and giving more space for traffic stacking of vehicles.
What I would suggest is that before we have our work session on this sector, that you meet with our transportation staff and have them take a look at this.
I would like to participate with staff in the work session, if I may.
That'd be good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's see where we are here. Mr. Perrine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Phil Perrine, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board. I'm a land planner with offices in Rockville, and I'm here to talk about the DLSS property, which is located in the West End area along Walter Johnson Drive on the south side, right next to the Pumphrey Martini House, historic house. Property owners would like to develop the property with multifamily residences. It's only 700 feet from the MARC station. And at present, the property is surrounded by office development, and it's adjacent to the MARC surface parking lot. And it is now zoned OM. It was zoned OM some years ago with a schematic development plan that allowed for about 50,000 square feet, a little over a 0.5 FAR. The owners, it has not been developed with office. It remains in its existing state. It's also the location of the Germantown Presbyterian Church. There is some offices in that building. The owners have been looking at the property for the possibility of productivity housing a couple of years ago, which would have about a 21.5 FAR units per acre, or also about a 0.5 FAR. The owners would like to develop it with multifamily, as I said, perhaps with retail on the first floor. The master plan, the draft plan, recommends essentially 0.5 FAR all around the property, and I'm not quite sure. I think there's 0.5 FAR recommended for this property also, but that's why I'm here tonight, just to say that they would like to have 0.5 FAR. as I mentioned, there's a mix of office and residential proposed around the property. What they would like to do is have the ability to have multifamily. The draft plan suggests that single family attached is the appropriate use in this area. We would prefer to have multifamily. And the TMX building height is limited right now to 28 feet, and we'd prefer to have it 50 feet that would allow at least a three-story building with a pitched roof. So essentially, we prefer not to be limited to single-family attached in this area, very close to the MARC station, and not be restricted to just a 28-foot height limit. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Martins.
Yes. I'm Vern Martins. I'm the son of the owner of property in the West End section. The location is along Waters Road. We're across from MARC station, across 118, and we border the railroad tracks. Property, the original site of the property was 63 acres. Several years ago, 36 acres was sold to Fairfield Realty for residential development. And approximately, I believe, 660 residential units have been built on that site. The site plan for the entire 63 acres had to be submitted and approved before development of the residential side could move forward. The 26-acre undeveloped portion had to be designated for commercial use only at that time, and no further residential development could be had on there. Much of the infrastructure for the 26 acres is already in place, well, access to water and sewer for commercial development. Under the new proposed plan, the district called West End, one of the reasons for proposing changes there, I believe, is that the residential section of Germantown has grown much faster than the employment section. Thus, the regional residential areas of the community are nearing capacity, and I think this is based on one of your own pieces that you have published. And thus, the regional plan area is near capacity, and the employment section is lagging capacity. And another reason for proposing the master plan changes, I believe, is that you want to increase the use of the MARC station, which is across 118 from our property. However, the redevelopment proposal plan changes, master plan, would change the development of the Martens property to reduce the commercial side to 100,000 square feet and add 300 residential units to that site. And I believe that the landowner, the property owner, would oppose this change for the following reasons, that, you know, we already have over 600 residential units on the original site. The original site plan was for the entire site and especially mandated that only the 26 remaining acres could be commercially developed. We've relied on that. We've offered that as a commercial site for sale. Much of the infrastructure has been available for commercial development. And I believe commercial development along the Martens property, along Waters Road, would tend to be an attraction to increase commuter use of the MARC station.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Sears.
Yes, good evening. My name is Barbara Sears. I'm speaking on behalf of MARC Enterprises, Inc., the owner of the 40-acre Rolling Hills property, which is bounded by Great Seneca Highway, Wisteria Drive, the CSX railroad tracks, and the Germantown MARC station. With me is Lawrence Nussdorf, president of MARC Enterprises, to my left. We have submitted a letter and several exhibits bound in this order, and they detail our points for the board's consideration. The property was first developed in 1983 with 468 garden apartments. Of the 40 acres, 30 are currently zoned RH. 10 PD9 with small pieces of R30 and CP zoning. The current zoning yields approximately 1,700 units. The owner requests RMX1 zoning at a density of 35 units per acre with up to 30,000 square feet of commercial. This maintains the current residential yield as currently possible, that is. And in May, when the board had its work session on the staff draft, the board indicated that the staff recommendation for this property of R30 base zoning with a PD18 floating zone for the northern half of the property and retention of 240 existing garden properties on the south half did not make sense, and asked the staff to find a single zone, perhaps RMX, that could be mapped to consider density and potentially allow for some commercial uses. The public hearing draft was then published and recommends RMX1 TDR with 18 units per acre on the north half of the property and retention of the existing 240 garden apartments on the south half. There is no difference in this recommendation in terms of its drawbacks, and problems are compounded by now forcing the owner to buy TDRs. Downzoning and effectively precluding comprehensive redevelopment of this property directly conflicts with multiple important public policy goals, such as transit-oriented development, housing with a range of unit types, including and sizes, including MPDUs, innovative design, sustainable technology, integration of surrounding uses, interconnecting streets, amenity spaces, and creation of pedestrian bike linkages. As to transit, the property is located completely within a 5 to 10 minute walk of the existing MART transit center, transit station. And there are, this is the second most widely used MART station in Maryland and expected to increase dramatically in the future. It is also served by existing ride-on routes which act as short loop circulators to the Germantown Transit Center and MART station. The existing design is not innovative or environmentally sustainable. There is no variety of unit type or size, and no MPDUs or rental controls. We therefore request the board consider, as detailed in our letter, the RMX 1 zoning at 35 units per acre and a small complement of RMX commercial FAR. We call the board's attention to the diagrams and illustrations and concept plans in our packet, which we believe do, in fact, achieve the board's direction in May and allow the property to be developed in a fashion which serves the larger community. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is Mr. Amati here? Okay. Very good. Are there questions for the panel? Did you wish to speak, sir? All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Let's move now to the town center. Henry Forster, Justin Hayes, Bob Dalrymple, Bud Wildman, and I have two other people who had signed up before we close the list, Raul Medrano and Cindy Snow. Forster.
He's not here.
Mr. Forster is not here. Then Mr. Hayes.
Mr. Hayes is going to cede his time to me, so I'll try to be as brief as I can. My name is Bob Dalrymple with Leno's and Blocker here on behalf of Matten Development. We've submitted written testimony as well, so I'll just summarize that testimony. Matten is the owner of 12.8 acres of land that's west of 270, east of Century Boulevard, and adjacent to the I-270 ramp for Maryland 118. The property is in the I-3 zone. It's identified as Parcel 8 on the Town Center reference map on page 43 of the draft plan. It isn't located in the Town Center, and as we indicated in our written testimony, Matten does support the vision that this plan is trying to achieve, and looking into the future when transit serviceability is indeed available to serve the town center. But because the land use recommendations in the zoning for this area are almost entirely dependent upon the availability of transit, the theme of our testimony is really to the implementation of the recommendations of the plan and what we think to be the premature nature of these implementation tools. Matten currently has a site plan pending for development of the property, in the existing I-3 zone. And we've worked hard with staff in order to come up with a design that would indeed allow for transit-oriented development in the future at the appropriate time when transit is available to support the additional densities and the other designs that go along with transit-oriented development. It's a little difficult to give testimony on the plan without talking about the zone, and also the plan itself has changed over time from what is now written with the proposal for the new zone. So I'm trying to merge them all based on the things I've been hearing for the last several weeks. The zone itself, being transit-oriented, obviously is dependent upon transit, also has a component to it for the BLTs, which we've given you testimony before, that the BLTs and the feasibility of them at this location is really dependent upon transit being available as well, so that the value of the land is reflected with the availability of transit, and then we'll be able to evaluate whether the economics really work or don't work. So what we're asking is that the implementation tools be triggered by some later events, most notably transit,